KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Good afternoon. Welcome in once again. Jimmy B and TC on the air with you here on a Tuesday, abbreviated work week, as we get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. Of course, here on 1700, if you're out and about, making your way out, going to see the family, the in-laws, whatever it may be, we have you covered on Thanksgiving Day. A triple header of coverage with Westwood One, as we will bring you the Vikings against the Lions in game number one, game two. Of course, the Chargers making their way to Dallas, and then the nightcap, Skins and the Giants. And we have you covered with West One coverage all day long on Thanksgiving. I will be in action on Friday against Nebraska. We take the day off, and then, of course, a big weekend of sports happening here. So a short week, day number two of it, and abbreviated show, at least for me, normally, though the Hawkeye Huddle will be here today. Brett Ridge will stop by. Dave Creighton Jr. on vacation, but plenty of Hawkeye talk coming up in hour number two. Hour number one, we'll get things started here at 4:20 today, as Alex Halstead will be joining us from CycloneAlert.com. We'll talk with him about everything going on with Iowa State, the way the basketball team responded. And we talked to Alex a week ago, as we normally do on a Tuesday, and things were not looking very bright for the basketball team. They go to South Carolina, they come back with three victories, and certainly a changing in perception for the Cyclone team. We'll get into that with Alex Halstead coming up here at about 20 after the hour. Then at 4:40, Seth Gruen will be here. We'll talk some Major League Baseball with Seth. Hot stove going on. Also covers the Big Ten. We'll talk some Big Ten football and basketball also coming up here today. But with all that being said, Hawkeye Huddle from 5 until 6. Tom Caker will stop by along with Ridge and myself today. Well, we're going to start with the Hawkeyes after the performance that we saw here today. So I watched the first half. Wasn't able to watch the second half as I was hosting a show. Made things a little bit difficult. So went back in between here in the break between our programs. You can hear me and Ken Miller every day from noon until 2. And then Jimmy B and myself, though Jimmy B off today doing Jimmy B things. He'll be back with us, he says, tomorrow. So I had a chance to go back and watch the second half. And you know, there's plenty of things to be frustrated with. And you talk about a rough week. Starts on Saturday in that loss to Purdue. Now, it's one thing to lose to Wisconsin. Lose to a team that may be on their way to the college football playoff. Losing in the fashion that they did with 66 yards. It's a different kind of feeling, though, losing to Purdue. And though Purdue has improved, we see this as a lot better team than what we saw in the previous regimes, in Danny Hope and company. This is a better football team. But it's still Purdue. And it's still a home game. And it's still senior day. And to lose in that fashion, the frustrations, they're there. Well, I personally was expecting big things, not from the football team, but from the basketball team. I looked at the depth that they had built and what they did a year ago and the improvements that they made. And Tyler Cook, how well he played a year ago at the end of the season. And what we saw out of Luka Garza, a big guy that seemed to be manning control at the back end of that defense. And Jack Nungey and the excitement of those two freshmen coming in. And Bo Hannon, the big step forward that he took last year at the end of the year. And Isaiah Moss, and you see those glimpses out of him. We could go on and on and on and talk about the depth of this team. But they've just been dealt a serious blow. I understand, I don't like working in hyperbole. I just don't. I don't think it's good radio. I think our listeners are too smart for that. I make just big outlandish statements just to get a rise out of people. It's not how I do things. And I hope I never do those kind of things. I think you guys are all too smart for that. These are devastating losses, though. Not being hyperbolic. And it's not because Louisiana Lafayette is terrible, that South Dakota State doesn't have talent, because they do. In fact, South Dakota State probably has the guy most likely to play in the NBA of that game that happened today, in Mike Dom. It wasn't Dom that beat him. It wasn't Dom put up a 33-12 kind of game, and just a better player went out there and went on the floor. They actually held him pretty much in check. But for the second day in a row, Iowa could not stop dribble penetration. Iowa could not stop mid-major guards from getting into the lane and doing what they wanted, getting to the rim, kicking it out and finding open shooters, and it's a continued problem. And if you've heard me throughout the summer, you heard me when we were talking basketball and talking specifically about this Iowa basketball team. The way that they are built, and now the reality, with no Christian Williams, a guy that could at least D up. He was a mess on the offensive end, but the guy could play defense. And no Connor McCaffrey, though he does not have great foot speed, he at least had a little bit of length. But when you're expecting Jordan Bohannon to play 34, 36 minutes a game, his backup is Brady Ellingson at the point guard spot, you have to figure out a way to stop the ball. It's simple. And college basketball is a guards game. It's a guards game. We see it year after year. You have to have high-level guards to compete in the highest order. And a lot of times when you see upsets in the NCAA tournament, it's because a bunch of guys get hot from the outside and they're starting to hit three-pointers. Well, who's getting hot from the outside for Iowa? Isaiah Moss had a nice game. Where was the help? Who else is there with him? And how are you getting stops? You're not. The current construction of this team does not look like an NCAA tournament team, does not look like a team that's going to be in the top half of the Big Ten, doesn't look like a team that's going to be competing for anything come February. That's the reality of the situation. Things can still be fixed. They had a rough start last year, and as bad as they were, and the bad loss that they took at home last year to Nebraska Omaha, that more than likely will be a worse loss than either of these two losses this year. But the schedule is something we will get to. And I know you've been waiting for that. My diatribe's about the Iowa basketball schedule. We'll get there. These two losses will not be as bad, more than likely, than Nebraska-Omaha last year. A, they're neutral court. B, I think both of these teams will end up being better than the Mavericks squad last year from Omaha. But you built your schedule in a way where really, your schedule is supposed to start tomorrow night against Cincinnati. Three absolute dregs to begin. Three teams that will be ranked in the 300s at the end of the year. And then two mid-majors that you feel confident you'll get by. You'll play Cincinnati and really see where you are. Now Iowa's playing for seventh place in the Cayman Islands Classic. Cayman Islands Classic, seventh place. You couple that with what's coming up next. Now this is actually the part of the schedule that is difficult. Next up, you go, after flying home, you go on the road and play your first now true road game, as you'll be playing at Virginia Tech, an NCAA tournament team more than likely. Good luck there. Buzz Williams, he's got some guards. Look out. You get Big Ten play going, you play Penn State. Penn State throttled Pitt last night. We'll see them again. I believe they're playing in Brooklyn. Penn State team that a few people, not many, but a couple out there thought maybe if there's an extra team that sneaks in the back door of the NCAA tournament, it'd be the Nittany Lions. Pretty talented team. I'd certainly take them right now to beat the way this Iowa team's played the last two. And then you go to Indiana. Though Indiana's young, and Archie has got a rebuild on his hands, still road game at Indiana. And then you go to Iowa State. We go from a week ago at this time to where we are today. Who are you taking there? Give me the Cyclones. I don't care how many I have to lay. Give me the Clones in Hilton. That's where we are just a week later. But one of the reasons that I killed the non-conference strength of schedule, and again, difficult stretch coming up, but the reason for it is your margin for error is so thin. When you play the sheer number of awful teams that Iowa has this year, and there's still a couple more. Southern's still on that schedule. Southern Utah's still on that schedule. Two more awful, awful basketball teams. And you look at the end and say, hey, that non-conference wasn't that bad. But you go through and you look at it and you'll see, why are they ranked in the 200s in their non-conference strength of schedule, or 150, whatever it may turn out to be? It's because you play these bottom-end teams. They certainly didn't prepare Iowa to play two decent, not even good, decent mid-major teams over the last 2 days. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready. I don't think that would matter. If you play a team 175, You play a mid-level MAC team or Summit League team. I don't think that would have changed what happened down in the Cayman Islands. But your margin for error is gone. I was in deep trouble. And another thing, for the first time in a while, I was actually dealt a pretty good scheduling hand in the Big Ten. You look at the double plays that they got this year. You look at who they get home versus away for the single plays. They got dealt a nice schedule. Well, the problem with that, when it looks good and you can rack up victories, you don't have as many opportunities to rack up quality victories. And Iowa needs quality victories. Now with these two losses, Iowa, if they're going to be an NCAA tournament team, which seems silly even to think about right now, but if you still have that line of thinking for the Hawkeyes, that they're going to figure it out, Nicholas Baer's going to come back, he's going to bring that defensive intensity, and this team is going to improve. We've seen him improve before. It's going to happen again. If you're subscribing to that line of thinking, congratulations. You're a much better person than me. I'm a little more pessimistic. But to do that, you got to rack up some quality wins. Well, you don't have as many opportunities for quality wins. And one more thing. What is it with tournament play and the struggles for Fran McCaffrey? Year after year after year. Big Ten tournament. They've been knocked off four consecutive years by double-digit seeds as big favorites. They've been beaten the Big Ten tournament. And they've had trouble in early season tournaments and on and on and on. What is the deal with this? And coming back in the second round, when they've advanced on the NCAA tournament and getting absolutely throttled by Gonzaga and Villanova, both excellent teams, no doubt. And we're talking about elite-level teams, including Villanova, that went on to win the national championship. But throttled in those games and losing to bad basketball teams in the Big Ten tournament and now losing to Louisiana Lafayette and South Dakota State. Not exactly a who's who of college basketball. I love Fran McCaffrey and what he's done bringing this program back. I've said it before, I don't think people realize how poorly the national perception for the Iowa job was after Todd Licklider was fired. Steve Alford couldn't get it done there. Todd Licklider couldn't get it done there. That guy was National Coach of the Year. They ran off Dr. Tom Davis. They don't have a great recruiting base. Iowa basketball, locally, what it was, maybe taints things a little bit. Fran McCaffrey took a shot. Could have stayed close to where he was in Siena, gone to St. John's. In fact, most everybody thought that's where he was going to end up after that great run at Siena. Instead, he came to Iowa. And what he has done building this program back up to this spot, miraculous? Not quite there, but very, very good. But there are plenty of head-scratchers. Scheduling, struggles in tournaments, including the Big Ten tournament, including the Cayman Islands Classic. Automatically fouling your own guys out in the first half when they get two fouls. There's always things to nitpick, and you do it with all kinds of coaches. Not to take away from what Fran has done. But there are some head scratchers. Another head scratcher developing down in the Cayman Islands right now. We'll talk more Hawkeyes coming up a little bit later on. 5 o'clock hour will be the Hawkeye Huddle. Myself and Brett Ridge taking up until 6 o'clock. But up next, let's go to something a little more positive. The Iowa State Cyclones. 3-0 in South Carolina, bringing home a championship. We'll talk about that. Football, getting ready to take on Kansas State. That has been a thorn in their side throughout the years. How does Iowa State turn the tables in Farmageddon? We'll get into that more. Coming up next, Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. He joins me. You can join us as well. 515-264-1700. We're back in a moment.
1700 KBGG brings you Westwood One coverage of the NFL all season long through the Super Bowl.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Sponsored by ShopVac. Got a big mess that needs to be cleaned up? Hurry down to Lowe's to pick up your ShopVac brand wet-dry vacuum with new advanced motor technology starting at just $79.
The way we see it in Iowa, it takes three things to push snow for a living. A truck, a blade, and a relentless, unwavering work ethic. So when it comes to the blade, choose one that matches your rugged resolve. Like the Fisher Plow's HD2 straight blade from Schuling Hitch. Forged from high-strength, powder-coated steel, the Fisher HD2 will stand up to harsh Iowa winters and be with you storm after storm. Learn more about this and other Fisher Plows at Schuling Hitch Company in Des Moines and Ames.
I've faced a lot of bad guys.
In the race against evil, the Flash will never slow down.
But this guy... he feels more dangerous than all the others combined.
But tonight...
he's been ahead of us every step of the way. He's ahead of us right now.
Oh, my God.
He's always watching us.
Harry, you've got to stop.
What are you hiding, DeVoe?
Will he go too far?
Stay away from us.
The Flash, followed by DC's Legends of Tomorrow, all new tonight on The CW.
The drama begins at 7, then watch CW Iowa News at 9.
This is Trent Condon from 1700 KBGG. If you average 6 hours or less of sleep, you're three times as likely to crash your car. Make zero fatalities your goal and stay alert behind the wheel.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, fooddudesdelivery.com.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
It's time for your daily dose of Cyclone coverage on 1700 KBGG.
Trent Cotta back with you once again. 1700 KBGG. Jimmy B and TC minus Jimmy B today. He'll be back with us tomorrow on the program. Right now, we're going to talk a little Cyclones. Our man, Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. He joins us here this afternoon. Alex, what's happening?
Not too much, just making it through this Thanksgiving week before getting down to Manhattan this weekend. But you know, basketball is picking up, but it's kind of a weird schedule for Iowa State. They play Saturday, and then they don't play again until December 4th. So not a whole lot of basketball action. So it's still kind of the focus on football and Iowa State's regular season finale in Manhattan.
Yeah, getting ready for that one, and we'll get into both basketball and football. Do want to start on the football side of things in Kansas State. And just Farmageddon, you know, it has the moniker. There's been the neutral site game in the past. This has been a fun matchup throughout the years, but Iowa State, just seemingly year after year, finds himself on the short side of things, giving up big leads, blowing games. It has a different kind of feel, a confidence, and I guess it just has a lot to do with what we're seeing out of this football team right now.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. It has been really for the last, you know, really the last decade or so. I mean, when you look at the last nine games, eight of them have been decided by one score, like you said, close games. But Iowa State's lost all those games. You know, they keep losing to Kansas State by those one score margins. The line for this game is 3 points. Favoring Kansas State, so projected to be another close one. And like you said, a lot on the line, and it's interesting because the Big 12 put this one this last weekend this year, and it's already, we know the schedule for 2018. It's going to be the last game next year in Ames, and this is rivalry week. It's almost like they're trying to, you know, switch it up. It had been West Virginia since West Virginia had joined the Big 12. Iowa State and West Virginia always played on the last week on rivalry week, and, you know, now it's K-State and But I think Dan McCartney used to say it about the Iowa State rivalry when Iowa State was losing before McCartney kind of flipped it for a few years there. It can't be a rivalry unless you win some games in it. So, you know, Iowa State's kind of got to get back on the other side this week in Manhattan. And a lot of implications, you know, it'll only be the ninth time in school history that they win at least eight games. And so I think even though they're going to a bowl game, even though they've already secured seven wins, Joe Lanning told me that's kind of in the back of their minds to try to get that eighth win in. Position themselves for a better bowl.
Nine consecutive victories for Kansas State in this series. A year ago, 31-26, a tight one that just let slip away. Kansas State, though, is banged up. Bill Snyder, questions continue to surround him if he's going to be back with the Kansas State program after this season. And I think the fan base, this is one that it seems like they just really want to get.
Yeah, I think fans want to get over that hump. Like you said, a close game last year, that was one where Iowa State, you know, tried to come back in. The last time they were in Manhattan was obviously, you know, the game where I think there's a minute 31 left and, you know, the fumbles. And Iowa State was up, I think, 21 points at halftime or something like that in that game. And I just remember going down the press elevator and we had thought, you know, that Iowa State was going to win the game. And, you know, we get off the elevator and you hear that Mike Warren had fumbled and then they lose that game. I mean, that was maybe one of the most bizarre games I've ever seen, for sure the most bizarre game I've ever covered. So, you know, Joe Lanning said he obviously was a big part of that situation. He said that they don't look at this as a revenge game, really. You know, it's a different staff. It's a lot of different players. But this is a game that fans, I think, want to get because they just keep getting beat by Bill Snyder in these weird ways. And I think just think it feels like a meaningful game. I think a lot of fans do think seven wins and eight wins is different. You know, they'll be happy with either season, but an eighth win just seems different, you know, for this program right now.
Well, one of the guys that's been a big part of that is the running of David Montgomery, a scary injury to him, but appears to be ready to go. How's a guy bounce back from an injury like that?
I don't, you know, that was kind of crazy. You know, we were getting ready to go down to the field, you know, there's about 5 minutes left. Iowa State had gotten the interception, so you kind of knew they were going to start to run the clock out. And so we were going to make our way down the field in Waco. And the first play of that drive that they wanted to kind of milk the clock out, you know, Montgomery's laying on the field. And if there's one player, you don't want to see any player down like that. But if there's one player for Iowa State fans to see go down like that, you know, that could just be a season changer, even though it is getting towards the end of the season. And when he initially went down and was down so long, and then really didn't put any weight on it, you know, over to the sideline, and they carted him up. You know, it looked like it was going to be this major injury. And, you know, I think when they first told us that the x-rays were negative and he might be ready to roll, in Matt Campbell's words after the game, you felt like, yeah, they probably avoided a major injury, but maybe they were sugarcoating how soon he could play. But, you know, we saw him yesterday. He was walking around. He was fine. He had nothing on his foot. He said he's going to play Saturday. Matt Campbell said he's ready to play. So it's kind of remarkable because when he went down, the way he got bent back, it looked like for sure he was going to be out until a bowl game. But That's big for them to get him Saturday, and we'll see how effective he is. I mean, he could still be a little sore. Maybe they'll have to rely on Sheldon Crony some more, but by all accounts, David Montgomery will start and play Saturday.
From there, Zeb Dolan makes his first career start on Saturday, taking over for Kyle Kemp after that injured shoulder that he sustained in the game against West Virginia. A little more time for him, certainly, to go through the game plan, get the reps last week. Some inconsistent moments, though, overall. Where would you get what kind of grade are you giving Zeb Dolan after his first career start?
Yeah, I'd probably put it, you know, right at a B-minus type range. I think, like you said, there were some positives that I think you saw some glimpses at times. You know, at 24/7 Sports, we have a partnership now with Pro Football Focus, who does college data, and I was looking at some of it, and on the season, he's now 8 of 7 on deep passes, which are passes over 20 yards. And so we've seen his deep passes actually be pretty accurate. You know, the one to Hakeem Butler was a good pass. The one to Alan Lazard for a touchdown was a good pass. And we've seen him put balls in tight spots and throw the ball well. He's actually probably struggled more in the short game and some of those screenplays than he has on his deep passes. So I think we've seen some glimpses and of promise. I think there's just the inconsistency. You can tell that, you know, those were his really third, fourth, fifth and sixth quarters of his college football career. You know, I think that's one thing we'll have to probably keep in mind as we watch him, assuming that he's going to go again this weekend, is that, you know, he's still figuring some things out. You know, the second half, they really went run heavy, so we didn't get a full glimpse at him. Alan Lazard said, and I didn't go back and watch it yet, but that they were dropping eight a lot more, and so they went to the ground. I think in the second half, they ran the ball 26 times and passed it 10 times. So they did shift things, and we didn't get to see him as much in the second half, but at times he made some good throws. I think it's just, you know, the inconsistency is still there for a redshirt freshman. But the big thing is he didn't have any turnovers, even though there were a couple that could have been intercepted. And if he can just limit the turnovers, if David Montgomery can play well and he can make the passes that he needs to, he can at least be effective quarterback until he gets a little bit more seasoned.
Alex Halstead joining us, CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Alex, on the website, you guys obviously do a lot with recruiting also. With this uptick and seeing the results on the field, are you hearing some more from some top-level guys that are maybe a little bit more interested than they were back in the summer?
Yeah, you're seeing it a little bit in 2018, but they've only got, you know, 3-4 spots left. You know, they're still after an offensive tackle out in Arizona who, you know, because of their uptick, they've been able to continue to battle Oregon and Washington and Arizona, Arizona State, you know, basically the Pac-12 schools where he's from. They're still right in his top mix. And there's a linebacker right now that just scheduled a visit for the first weekend after the season, Khalid Jibril, who's a linebacker who's been to USC for a visit, and he still has Washington State and another Pac-12 school. So we're seeing a little bit of uptick for 18 with guys like that. But I think the biggest area that you're going to see any success that they've had and might still have in the next 5-6 weeks is going to probably go more towards the 2019 recruiting class. You've seen Max Dugan from Council Plus Iowa, top 247 quarterback. He told me he's really liking Iowa State still. He's a major priority for them. And they made a top five for, you know, one of the best safeties in the country from down in Texas. So and they're with teams like TCU and some other major programs. So we're starting to see it a little bit more for 2019-18 because of the cycle so sped up, but there could be a couple kids here in the final weeks that they do have chances with because of the success they've had this season.
Well, before we roll out of here, we got to talk a little bit of basketball, and over the weekend, quite the turnaround from the Cyclones team. Alex, you knew that was going to happen all along, right?
Yeah, I mean, they lose by what? I think it was 18 to Milwaukee. I don't think it could have. I mean, it wasn't an insane, crazy, good field down there. But, you know, just to win three straight games, I don't think I could have ever expected after the way I saw them play in the first three games, including the exhibition against a D2 school.
It was quite the run there, all tight games. They had a big lead against Boise. Boise came flying back, hitting a bunch of threes to come back, and I think, get it within four at one point. But three victories against three mid-majors of varying degrees of success, but still positivity. Dominic Jackson finally finds his shooting stroke. But the wildest thing, Nick Weiler-Babb turning over and becoming the point guard, dishing out assists, running the team. I certainly couldn't envision anything like that. We've never seen Nick Weiler-Babb play like that.
No, we haven't. And it's kind of interesting. I think last Tuesday we talked after the Milwaukee loss, and one of the things we talked about is they had to get Donovan Jackson going, and they had to find ways to get him shots. And the way of doing that was to make Nick Wibbe-Abab the point guard and play Donovan Jackson back off the ball like he did with Monte last year. You know, the struggle for Jackson really against Missouri and Milwaukee was that it's just tough for him to create his own shots. He can't really just dribble up the floor and pop a, you know, three-pointer on those guys. So when he played off the ball, we saw him score 76 points in three games, you know, broke the tournament record, was hitting threes, and it just fits him better. I think right now they have to play him off the ball. And the side effect of that was that Nick Wibbe-Abab had a crazy performance, you know, averaged, you know, 17-point-something points, 9 assists, and 8.7 rebounds per game in those three games out there. And he played 119 of 120 minutes. So I definitely never saw that from him. We have talked before, you know, the season that was a player that was really probably going to need to take a step forward if they were going to be at least decent this year. And it's still really early, but his three-point shot looked better than it did last year. And he's definitely much better when he's attacking versus passive, which I think, you know, putting the ball in his hands, you kind of force that upon him.
So we get to see the debuts of Cameron Laird and also Hans Brace. What do you see kind of the role that those guys, as they get more comfortable figuring out what the different responsibilities are going to be, what we're going to see minutes-wise, what do you see the roles for those two guys going forward?
Yeah, we got to talk to Steve Provo a little bit today, and, you know, I think he's still trying to figure out how they're going to sort out the front court because they have some different bodies to play with. And, you know, right now they're starting Solomon Young and Jeff Beverly, but, you know, like you said, Cameron Laird played well down there. And, you know, he provides that guy that just can run the floor at the five spot. You know, there's still, I think, a lot of areas he needs to come along in, but he has a high motor and he played really well at times. And, you know, can you play him and Solomon together at the same time? You know, kind of basically, if you do, you really have only three shooters on the floor. Hans Brace can step out and shoot the three some, or at least, you know, space the floor a little bit more. So I think they got to figure all that out, but, you know, I think we'll see Cameron's minutes increase and Brace probably too, because, you know, he played quite a few minutes at times, but he's still kind of working on that knee. And so, you know, they're kind of being cautious with him. And so I don't know if we'll for sure see that front court develop for another couple weeks. Provo did say that, you know, while they used about all 10 players down in Myrtle Beach, you know, within the next month or so, they're going to definitely pare that rotation down. Not to say in some nights they might not go out to 10, but he said in this day and age, it's just hard to play 10 guys, and it's hard to play all the guys the minutes they want to. So, you know, at some point, like in those last couple games, we didn't see Terrence Lewis really. So at some point, you might see some guys have to see their roles a little bit more defined in terms of minutes.
Well, a long home stretch coming up. The next time we'll see the Cyclones in action will be against the Leathernecks from Western Illinois. Northern Illinois after that, Iowa in the Cy-Hawk game, Elkhorn State, the UNI game in the Big Four Classic, and even the first two games of the Big 12 will be at home. So they're not going to play a road game now until January 6th after opening the season on the road at Missouri. Chance to maybe make a little bit of a run now all of a sudden for Iowa State.
Yeah, I didn't think about the home stretch. I did ask Prohm today about, you know, the first part that you mentioned, that they play Saturday against Western Illinois, which is November 25th, and then they don't play again until December 4th against Northern Illinois, and then they do play Iowa later that week. But it's kind of like two games in the next 2.5 weeks and or 2 weeks or so. And, you know, Prohm said he does like it. He thinks with this team they need to, you know, start putting more offense in. They've been kind of basic at times, and so they need to put more of that in and rep it more, he said. And he said the biggest area they need to get better at is defense. So he does like the schedule, but it is a weird setup in that regard. And then I didn't even, like you just said, I didn't even think about the fact that they won't have another road game for quite a while. And so, you know, that Iowa game is definitely the toughest that they've got on their schedule between now and in Big 12 play. And, you know, they got a couple games to kind of continue to try to make strides. And the interesting thing, though, is I don't think fans have gotten too far ahead of themselves. Like, they win three straight games and all of a sudden they're back on track. But Prohm said that, you know, they've got to stay pretty level-headed because, you know, just because they won three straight games, you know, it's been a week since they lost to Milwaukee.
Right.
And,
yeah,
you know, some things, they have gotten better, but this isn't a completely different team. They've got to continue to make strides. But if they can win the games they're supposed to against teams like Western Illinois and Northern Illinois and Alcorn State, who's just been getting beat up by high majors, if they can win those types of games, they can at least you know, continue to move through non-conference with a decent schedule or a decent record.
Yeah, and, you know, the record, I think it's going to look very good by the end of this. Also have to remember, the Big 12 this year, the depth of this conference again this season. We know about Kansas up there. I'm a big TCU fan. Watching Baylor last night, they were very impressive. Went on a little bit of a lull there in their win against Wisconsin. We'll see them again tonight against Creighton. But West Virginia, Texas Tech got off to a good start. Texas and Oklahoma, very young, but both much improved. This conference is going to be very difficult to find wins, even if they do get through the non-conference in pretty good shape.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, and that's why the tournament's the farthest thing from their minds. But just, you know, I think we talked about before, this is the type of schedule you got to try to go 8-4, 9-3 in the non-con, because just to have a respectable record at the end of it, because we don't know what to expect in the Big 12 from Iowa State, because we still have to kind of figure out what this team is like in the next 6 weeks or so. But like you said, Texas Tech, you know, even supposed to be one of those bottom teams, and they just beat up on Northwestern. And I know you can see some crazy results in these tournaments, but that one really shocked me. And, you know, I think it just continues to show that a lot of teams in the Big 12 can beat a lot of different teams, and it's going to be kind of a scary schedule for them. But if they continue to improve, they can at least maybe be competitive with some of those teams.
Well, looks like we'll have plenty of Cyclones to talk about this winter. Alex Halstead always helping us out. Alex, thanks for your time as always. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Trent. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Alex Halstead joining us here. You can find his work again, CycloneAlert.com. It's part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Recruiting information day by day. Alex does a great job, and he'll be making his way down to Manhattan for that game Saturday on the football side of things. We come back, get into the Big Ten a little bit. I want to ask Seth Gruen. We mentioned that Texas Tech-Northwestern matchup. What's happening with the Wildcats? Little expectations, and they are struggling. We'll talk Big Ten. We'll talk MLB. We'll do it next. Seth Gruen joins us on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC. Trent Condon running solo with you on a Tuesday.
First Light with Evan Hanning every weekday from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Right now at the Home Depot, get your choice of select Milwaukee power tools for just $99. That's a pro Black Friday price, well ahead of Black Friday. Milwaukee means top of the line pro grade tools. And right now, you can get exactly the right tool for the job or the Christmas tree. So hurry. The holidays will be gone before you know it. So will these. Select Milwaukee Power Tools, now just $99, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through November 29th, U.S. only while supplies last.
Black Friday doorbusters are here at Target. So, here's your make a leftover turkey sandwich and work that savings game plan faster than the kids can spell cranberry sauce guide to the hottest electronics deals. Like an Xbox One bundle for $189.99 with a $25 gift card. Or a Westinghouse 55-inch UHD TV for $249.99. Plus, deals on the Jetson hoverboard and iRobot Roomba. Zoom and Zoom. Save big with Black Friday electronics doorbusters. Doors open 6 p.m. Thursday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
1700 KBGG is your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Tyreek Hill takes it at the 5. San Diego didn't think he was going to take it. Here he goes. He's at the 25-30. They blocked the punter. The cheat is gone. They can't get to him. Tyreek Hill stays on the right boundary. 10-5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
The voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, joins myself, Trent Condon, and Ken Miller each Thursday at 1:40 on your home for Chiefs football, 1700 KBGG.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun out in the sun here at Camp Sunnyside.
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Well, here's Trent at the very least. TC back with you here on a Tuesday as we'll take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. We got the Hawkeye Huddle coming up here from 5 until 6 o'clock right now. Joining us from his Chicago outpost, he is Seth Gruen. You find his work, well, all over the place. Bleacher Report on MLB, also hosts a Big Ten Unfiltered podcast, and he joins us right now. Seth, how are things over in Chi-Town?
They're pretty good. Weather's getting a little chilly, but... Other than that, things are going well.
Feels like Thanksgiving out there. A little chill in the air and getting ready for certainly a big day of turkey and football on Thursday. Then on Friday, we will get the Iowa-Nebraska game. Now, we talked during the summer, maybe this would be a game for bowl eligibility. Well, Iowa's already there, though, just by the skin of their teeth. Nebraska not going to be able to get there even with the victory. Two seasons that have been incredibly odd with the Cornhuskers and the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as Nebraska is concerned, you have the last sort of evolution in the whole Mike Riley experiment, which I think was flawed from day one. Sean Eichhorst, who's not there anymore, made a personality hire. And look, Mike Riley's a really nice guy, and he does fit well in Lincoln, Nebraska, but that program just not producing on the field, and I think all eyes are on Scott Frost after just a masterful job he's done at UCF this season. As far as Iowa's concerned, yeah, we talked about this potentially being a game for bowl eligibility here, but I think that the Hawkeyes season so far has been net positive, Trent. I think that when we went into the year, there were questions, especially in the passing game. We knew they had Akram Wadley. We knew what he was capable of. But with a young quarterback coming in, we didn't really have a lot of experience. I think Nate Stanley threw like 13 passes last year. There were a lot of questions, and I think Iowa's proven, this young Iowa team has proven that they can play in big games, and I think they've gotten a lot of battle scars. They've been in almost every game they've played, and I think you look at some of them, Northwestern, Penn State, those go the other way. We're looking at this season a heck of a lot differently and maybe talking about Iowa more as a Big Ten championship contender next year. I think they're going to give Wisconsin fits in 2018. I know that it's been quite an erratic season,
yeah,
but I think that there's a lot of positives to take from it.
Well, you give a positive spin, and there isn't a whole lot of positivity here as it pertains to the Hawkeyes after those performances the last 2 weeks. But you just go back to the conversation we had right after the Ohio State game, how good that team was, how much youth was on the squad. And sometimes we do get a little too close to the situation and miss that big picture view. And I still think it's something that does make sense because this is still a young team. And you mentioned Stanley and the offensive tackles that were kind of thrust into the mix, and you go on and on and on. There is hope for the future. They just got to figure out a way to move the football against Wisconsin's 3-4 because they still haven't figured that out.
Well, yeah, I think Wisconsin's the class of the division far and away. I don't think from a big picture perspective and not just looking season by season, but overall, I don't know that there's a program further ahead in its respective division than Wisconsin. That said, Iowa, like many of the programs in the Big Ten, they don't collect talent. They have to develop it. which means that when guys like Nate Stanley become seniors, that's the kind of season in which Iowa's going to compete. Mm-hmm. And they've proven that they can compete. I think they've been awfully impressive in the biggest games of the year. And there's something to be said about that. I think that you look at a Michigan State team, for example, that's young and hasn't quite necessarily figured out how to win the closest games yet or even play well in the big games. Being on the losing end of those games is part of development. It's part of, I don't want to use the term evolution of the program is what a lot of people refer to, but you know, with the highest tenured coach in the conference, it's hard to use that term because the program is where it is, but I think you're seeing them usher in a new philosophy of offense, so it's somewhat of a rebirth for Iowa football. This thing takes time, but I expect them to take a step forward next year. And hey, look, Trent, they win this weekend. They go out and win a bowl game. 8-5 doesn't look so bad when you consider what the expectations were for this program over the summer.
No, you're exactly right on that part of it. You're right on. As you go through and kind of look at this squad and where the expectations were, and getting off that bowl schneid, as bad as they haven't won, they lost their last five bowl games, and the last three have been absolute disasters. And just getting some kind of positivity going forward, they're going to be searching for that. All right, big picture for this year. So we're going to get Wisconsin, Ohio State in the championship. The Buckeyes still have an opportunity maybe to win their way in and get a little bit of help to get there into the playoff. What would be better, though, for the Big Ten, not even mattering what happens in the college football playoff? An 11-2 Ohio State team, again, getting the benefit of the doubt and getting in, or seeing undefeated Wisconsin in the playoff? What's better for the Big Ten brand?
I think it's definitely seeing Wisconsin in the playoff. I think the more teams that you can get to that college football playoff in a short span speaks to the competitiveness of the division, in particular with a conference. I think one of the people of not the Big Ten saying, well, there's no real class, there's no real great team, but I think the middling teams, the Iowas, even the Indianas, you can throw Michigan in there this year, are really, really strong compared to that of the SEC. And that in part is why Alabama has been able to dominate. Now, is Alabama the best team in the country? Probably. But to my earlier point just a second ago, I think when you get another team in, when you have a fresh face in, it says to the rest of the country and that college football playoff committee that hey, there's some real depth in this conference.
Which is a good thing. And something, yeah, I think it's a good way to look at it and hope for kind of, you know, the future as people talk year after year about, hey, they need to make these divisions more fair and try to find more equity in them. Well, if Wisconsin goes out and beats Ohio State and gets into the college football playoff, it is going to be a help with the perception of the Big Ten West. With that being said, Ohio State, even to get to that point and have a shot, they got to beat Michigan. Well, we see them look terrible against Iowa a few weeks back, and then since then, they've just been rolling people out there. It's like they're moving up to 5A. So let's look at this Ohio State team. How can a team possibly do it? How can you look the way they did against Iowa and play that way? It's still one of the most confounding things. I said it earlier in the program today, Seth. I don't like to work in a lot of hyperbole. I just think listeners, they're smarter than that. They can see through those things. I don't remember. I can't think of anything in college football quite like this. The way Ohio State has looked right afterwards, the way Iowa's looked right afterwards, the way Iowa typically plays, that game is going to be one of the great head-scratchers, certainly of the 2017 college football season, and I think one that'll be looked back in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, that was a shocking result. So I think I said it on your air, it would take an act of God for Iowa to win, and that may have been what happened. I mean,
yeah.
For Ohio State to play that poorly, it must have taken divine intervention, right? I think overall what you've seen this year is obviously inconsistency from Ohio State, where even in games that they've won, they haven't looked as dominant as they have in recent years. They were relying a lot on that front seven, a front seven that on paper was the best in college football and led you to believe that Ohio State defense was going to be the very best. Well, it's in Wisconsin, in my opinion. But, you know, I think it starts there. A lot of people want to point to inexperience in the secondary. Well, that's not really true. All four of those guys actually saw decent playing time last year. But anytime you lose three first-rounders out of that group, you're going to have to reload a little bit, and there's going to be somewhat of a learning curve. And then I think JT Barrett probably hasn't played as well as we thought he would. And that's in part due to the fact that there's a group of receivers that were certainly the question mark for that program heading into the season. A group that didn't have a lot of experience, took some time each as individuals to find their role. I think obviously you're seeing Paris Campbell emerge as that Percy Harvin type. Johnny Dixon, who almost left the game, by the way, is really that big play threat. So I think it's beginning to crystallize a little bit. But that said, a team that's been this up and down this year, and look, we go through this in sports with all kinds of teams, but it's hard to believe that they're going to be able to sustain it until they actually do. And, you know, look, if we're looking back in January saying, you know, that this was when they sort of started, you know, they'll be holding a trophy at the end of the year.
Jumping over to a little basketball, let's start with self-proclaimed Chicago's Big Ten team, Northwestern. What's going on with the Wildcats? Getting throttled by Texas Tech. One thing to lose at home to Creighton, though not really on your home gym, but getting beat that badly by Texas Tech, what's happening?
Yeah, well, Creighton could be ranked. So, you know, I don't want to blow that one out of proportion. The Texas Tech thing, look, even the worst of Northwestern teams wouldn't lose that badly.
Yeah.
I think to some degree, and this is sort of a philosophical explanation, but to some degree, everybody struggles in their sophomore season, right? Or their second year. You know, you talk about the sophomore slump in the pros. It's because Northwestern is now a known entity. That program began in earnest last year when they made the NCAA tournament. Before, people didn't take them seriously. And in basketball, that means something because when you have a limited amount of practice time, look, what are you going to do if you have Northwestern or Michigan State in a given week? You're going to focus more of your time preparing for Michigan State. I think now Northwestern is getting that Michigan State-like treatment. They've got a point guard in Brian McIntosh who has a chance to play in the NBA and a host of other just top-flight, talented players that they've never had at that school before. But those players, in turn, over at least their first 2 years, haven't seen the type of focus in terms of game planning from some of these teams. So I think that's something that they're going to need to adjust to and get used to, but they're not playing very well offensively. This is a program that staked its claim on the fact that it's played some of the best defense in the conference under Chris Collins. They have not played well on that side of the ball. It's really been a disaster any way you look at it.
Michigan loses last night. Iowa has struggled mightily here over the last couple of days down in the Cayman Islands. We know Michigan State's going to be good. Minnesota's looked pretty good here at the start, but maybe not as deep of a conference as maybe we talked about during the summer, Seth?
Yeah, that's possible. But look, at the end of the day, I think come March, you see a lot of Big Ten teams generally making some noise. The Big Ten in particular, Michigan State, schedules very, very hard. The ACC Big Ten Challenge isn't easy. The Gavitt Invitational at the Big 12, that's not all that easy. So I think that as a whole, the conference schedule's pretty hard. As far as the conference is concerned, yeah, I see it as Michigan State and everybody else. I think the difference between Michigan State and whoever you pick is that second-best team, whether it's Minnesota or Purdue. Some people might reach for Michigan or even a Northwestern. I think that gap is as large as the gap between Wisconsin football and the rest of the Big Ten West. So I think they're the clear-cut class of the conference. I'd be shocked if they don't win the regular season. The tournament, you know, is kind of a crapshoot. But, yeah, I think Michigan State is the clear class of the conference. And, look, could Purdue surprise some people? Sure. They have Isaac Hodge, who's a Player of the Year candidate in the conference. Mm-hmm. Could Minnesota surprise some people? Yeah. And I'm talking about surprising people by getting to a Final Four, maybe winning a Big Ten regular season championship. But it's hard to ignore all the talent that Tom Izzo has in East Lansing.
Yeah, they're going to be very, very good, and they look good a week ago in the Champions Classic, even in a loss to Duke. Well, with that, Seth, we are out of time. Didn't even get to any baseball. 10 seconds. Where's Giancarlo Stanton end up?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine there.
Well, our neighbors to the south in St. Louis, they hope it is there. Seth, we'll do it again. Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, Trent.
That's Seth Gruen checking in with us here. We got the Hawkeye Huddle. It comes your way next.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Trust, quality, value. Just some of the words that have been used by Wolf Construction Roofing customers to describe their experience. Wolf Construction Roofing works on residential and commercial roofing, including single-family and multifamily homes, tear-offs, specialty roofing, and gutters. Wolf Construction has grown into a roofing machine that installs and re-roofs nearly 2 million square feet of roofing each year. Wolf Construction has been given the Super Service Award from Angie's List and is accredited with the Better Business Bureau. Call them today for your free estimate. Wolf Construction Roofing, 515-216-3643. That's 515-216-3643. And online, wolfconstruction.net.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-through options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines Metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Sponsored by Account Temps. Tis the season for year-end projects and increased workloads. Account Temps has perfectly matched candidates that make closing out the year a breeze. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
I've faced a lot of bad guys.
In the race against evil, the Flash will never slow down.
But this guy, he feels more dangerous than all the others combined.
But tonight...
He's been ahead of us every step of the way. He's ahead of us right now.
Oh my God!
He's always watching us!
Harry, you've got to stop.
What are you hiding, DeVoe?
Will he go too far?
Stay away from us.
The Flash, followed by DC's Legends of Tomorrow, all new tonight on the CW.
The drama begins at 7, then watch CW Iowa News at 9.
He went to Jared because... The vault is now open for the Jared Black Friday event, November 24th through December 3rd. Take advantage of amazing prices on select merchandise, all hand-picked by Jared's expert jewelers. So be of good cheer and go to Jared.com to discover what's inside the vault at the Jared near you. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast. And you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
You don't need more sports, but you want...